Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
Welcome, listeners. This is Jeannie St. John Taylor. And this morning I have some bad news and some good news and some good news. And the bad news is Maxine can't be with us. I'm so sorry because she's on vacation. The good news is she's on vacation. She's having a good time. The other good news is we have Elizabeth Lang Thompson back again. And if you'll remember, Elizabeth writes at LizzieLife.com, and you really need to go check that website. It's great. And she writes about clinging to Christ through the chaos of daily life. She's a minister, speaker, and novelist. We have a lot in common. We're going to talk about that. She loves finding humor in holiness. That's weird, Elizabeth. And hope in heartache. She is the author of a middle grade novel, The 13th Summer, and several Christian living books for women, which include The Tender Years, Parenting Preschoolers, and When God Says, Wait. Elizabeth lives in North Carolina with her preacher husband and four spunky kids, and they were totally worth the wait. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be back here again with you. I've been totally looking forward to it ever since last time.
Oh, I know, us too. We both, and Maxine's just sick. She had to miss today. Hey, listen,
I know,
explain
but I'm glad
that
she's
weird
on vacation. She deserves it.
She's having a good time. Explain that strange part in your bio that says you like finding humor in holiness.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just think sometimes we get so serious about our Christianity, and certainly it is a serious thing, and we should honor God, and we should be reverent, but, you know, I think God's got a great sense of humor, and he wants us to enjoy our life and enjoy Christianity. I mean, he invented the platypus, so that tells you a lot.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of humor in the scripture that we tend to miss sometimes.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I think we just don't notice it. Like the time that Ezra goes to the king and he asks to go back to the promised land, and the king offers him some troops, and Ezra says, no, no, God will take care of us. And then he's scared and he prays and they calls a fast because it's like, oh, I said it, but I don't know if I really believe it, or at least that's how I read it. I could be reading into it, but things like that, aren't they
absolutely
funny?
Absolutely. I think that's a great one. Oh, there's so many stories like that that sometimes you kind of have to read it a few times, and then you're like,
you do.
You know, that's kind of funny. That's something I would have done, you know?
Yes. But even then, sometimes we don't get it because the cultures are different, and we didn't really get their humor as much. So, hey, what I want you to do this morning is tell us two more fascinating facts about you that we don't know yet.
Oh, my goodness. Two more fascinating facts about
you. You got
me.
A lot of
okay.
them. I've read your website. Yeah. Two more. Give me two.
Well, one is that I play the oboe. Maybe I should say played because I haven't really picked it up in a long time. But I played starting in the fifth grade. It's something I really loved to do, and it's in the Guinness Book of World Records as one of the most difficult instruments to play. I'm not really sure why. I think it just takes a lot of air, so maybe that means I'm full of hot air. I don't know.
Hey, tell the listeners what the oboe is in case they don't know.
It's a woodwind instrument. It looks similar to the clarinet. I always say played poorly. It sounds like a dying duck, but played beautifully, it's really heavenly. The most famous piece is Gabriel's oboe, which a lot of people are sort of vaguely familiar with. Da 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 da. Anyway, really beautiful oboe solo there.
Yeah. One more fact.
Okay, so one more thing is, I am totally addicted to coffee. It's an unfortunate little issue that I have that sort of came along after having three children in 3 years. I think you sort of have to, but I write at Starbucks. My kids think I work at Starbucks, like work for Starbucks, because I'm there so much when I write. And
you know,
my
husband
has just sort of learned, you got to roll with it. You got to buy the $5 cup of coffee. It's my one little splurge that I really love. So
that's another thing we have. Two more things we have in common.
Oh, good.
I also am addicted to coffee, and you beat me though. I had three kids in 3.5 years. So
wow, but still,
mine were
it's
all
crazy,
cesarean.
Isn't it?
Yours cesarean. Oh my gosh! It's, and you know, you talk about that on your blog. You talk about the little angel who turns into a demon, and what it is the best and worst, isn't it?
It is.
Of life.
It's like, I just feel like it goes from exhilarating to exhausting, from heartwarming to humiliating, like.
Yes.
Second by second. 1 minute you're having the best day of your life. The next minute, you know, your kid's having a tantrum on the floor and you're like, what am I doing wrong? I mean, it's just, I get whiplash from my kids sometimes.
I know.
But they just, whew.
You know what I learned to do when they were little? I childproofed a room. It was my bedroom. And I would go lay on the floor against the door go to sleep with all of them in there.
Wow, where were you 5 years ago when I really needed that tip?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I know, that's going to be the best thing, the best tip we offer today. I can just go through noise to the point that I had my my iPhone reading Psalms, and when I turned my Bible on in church, it started reading out loud, and I didn't even hear it. I was just focused on the pastor. Horrible.
I've done that before, and I was like, "What
have
is that
you
noise?"
Really?
My
oh
husband's
my gosh.
Trying to preach, and I'm like, "Where is that voice coming from?" It's my Bible. When my little ones were that young, we used to go to. There was a place. I think they still have them in larger cities. It's like Gymboree, the play place, and it's basically a big padded room. And it was the only place I felt like I could go and breathe and feel like one of them wasn't going to die at any given moment because they were totally safe.
Oh, that was my bedroom.
It was a
bedroom.
Lovely 45 minutes a week.
mine was free. Yours cost money, right?
Yes, that was a gift from my mother-in-law.
Well,
thank the Lord.
Exactly. You know, one of the serious things that I really, really, really feel strongly about and I want us to talk about today is the importance. Well, tell us the name of the book that you've written dealing with young kids. That's a nonfiction.
My mom and I actually co-authored this book. It's called The Tender Years, Parenting Preschoolers. And it's, it's a devotional style book. They're short chapters. The idea was just to give, you know, sort of what you could read sitting, hiding in the toilet, you know, hiding on the toilet for 2 minutes with the door closed.
Yes.
A little thought, something
waterproof.
Practical, Bible-based, you know. That was a really fun project to do
her. Can you give them the whole title again of that book?
Sure, The Tender Years, Parenting Preschoolers.
Yeah.
And I've got the link to that on my site.
Okay, give them your site again.
LizzieLife.com. If you go under books, you can find it there. That book was independently published, so you wouldn't be able to find it in bookstores, but it is available. Barnes & Noble online and those kinds of places. So,
You know, you should put it on Kindle now, cuz that's free and it's not real hard to do. Yourself.
Nice.
Did you know that?
Nice. Yes.
What I want to discuss is how important it is to get kids while they're young.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it? And that's just
you mean just getting them close to God spiritually?
Teaching them about the Lord, yes. And the statistics, I don't have them right here, but the statistics are that kids, people, adults who say later that they follow the Lord, something like 85% of them found the Lord before 13, I think.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not sure if that's right. It could be before 3, but it's really high. So why do you think, who do you think should be teaching them about the Lord?
Well, certainly
these
the ideal
tough.
Thing is
yeah.
that, is they need to be learning it at home. You know, Deuteronomy
yes,
talks
right.
so much about, you know, instilling this in your children when they're young and writing it on your door frames and on the walls of
right.
your houses, just, you know, having Scripture be so much a part of your home and your
yeah.
life. And, you know, this is something I really enjoy doing with my kids. It's sort of a constant challenge of, okay, how can we bring God into our life today? And one of my favorite
mm-hmm.
things, and this is something I learned from my mom, is just taking little mm-hmm. prayer walks around the neighborhood with toddlers, starting
oh,
that really young.
Oh, I never
young.
Did my, that. I love that. Wish I'd had
oh,
that
Oh, my
tip.
Goodness. Well,
yeah, go ahead.
I tried it with my oldest, and she hated to be in the stroller so much it didn't work with her. It was a misery. She just screamed the
yeah.
whole time. So, but my youngest
there you
child,
go.
I mean, when she was 2, we would go take, starting then, we would go take these walks, and we would just pray out loud, "Dear God, thank you for the flowers." And she got real bossy with it. Mommy, thank God for that tree. Mommy, thank God for that purple flower.
Mm-hmm,
it's hilarious.
I
she
love
would just
that.
Tell me everything I needed to pray for. But I think it instilled in her just an awareness of God
yes.
in the world around her
mm-hmm.
That she still has, you know, she's 4 and she still very much points out those things. We still love taking our prayer walks.
Mm.
You know, aww. And I think those are the things you can do when they're super
yeah.
young, just very simple little
right.
things to get them aware of God.
Right. And that's incidentally, that's Deuteronomy 11, if I remember correctly, that it says, you know, talk
mm-hmm.
with them when you walk. There you go. You did it. And I
yep.
always added in when you drive them to soccer practice and when you're eating
yes.
and, you know, every single thing you do. And do you think parents do that nowadays, many of them? Or do you
well,
know?
I think
know
it
for
depends.
Sure,
I think a lot of Christian parents
mm-hmm.
want to do it, but they may not have been raised that way themselves, and so
right.
they're searching for ideas but may not have a reference point. I feel very
yeah.
blessed that, you know, my parents were that way, and so it's not so difficult for me to think, oh, here's what this looks like. You know, Mom and Dad used
yeah.
to pray every time we got out of the car to go somewhere. Just, Lord,
yeah.
help us to be giving. Help us to be kind to whoever
yes.
we're about to spend time with. Those are simple
mm-hmm.
things that I experienced growing up that are easy for me to bring in with my kids. But I think it is challenging. If you haven't seen that before, you're like, oh, I never would have thought.
Right.
You know,
right.
we can pray more than at bedtime, or we can use the
yeah.
scripture when my daughter talks about peer pressure at school. I can turn to her,
right.
turn to some of these great scriptures that Jesus has about how we relate to one another. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of a learned thing.
I think. You know what I did with my kids that I thought was really, really effective? I had, I picked a verse. A lot of them would be from Proverbs. For instance, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife. This is NIV. And
oh,
every fool is quick to quarrel. Yeah. And so whenever they started to quarrel, I would make them quote that verse. Say,
mm-hmm.
what does the Bible say about that? So
mm-hmm.
anyway, I thought that was a really good thing to do.
Oh, it's so great
because
okay. it helps them see how the Bible is applicable to something they're going through, you know, during the day.
And do you think many people see the Bible that way? Try to live biblically?
Ooh. You know, I mean, I think some are really trying, others,
yeah.
you know, it's more of a Sunday thing. It's more, you know, we just had
right.
Easter, it can be more of a Christmas and Easter kind of thing. And I do
right.
think that's, it's so important if we want to instill true faith in our children, then we've got to find ways to make
yeah.
it real and not just say, hey, this is something we do on Sundays. This is not, church is not a place we go. you know, church is anytime we're around other people who love God, and how can we bring him into just our arguments at home with siblings, or, you know, dealing with conflict at school, or being honest about how much time you spend on the computer. I mean, God is in all of those things, but it is a challenge. You know, it takes really being intentional if you want to bring God into all those kinds of conversations.
Yeah. Well, I think it takes a lot of practice. You just have to get used to the, you know, what does the Bible say I should do here? And then you just read and God will point it out. You find it. Yeah. So, Elizabeth, do you think that to a large degree we have lost the knowledge of right and wrong in our culture?
Oh, that's such a great question. I do think that living in a time when, you know, we talk more about you know, what's right for you, do what's right for you, do what feels right, go with your heart.
Right.
And everybody's so careful not to, you know, of course we don't want to be judgmental, but they're so careful not to offend that we do lose the sense of, hey, there are some things that God has said, this is right and it will always be right. This is wrong, it will always be wrong.
Right.
Against my will. And that's one of the big challenges I'm facing with my kids, you know, in raising them, is teaching them, hey, you know, we're going to have some different standards sometimes than what you see or hear on television or at school, and you're going to not feel like the cool kid sometimes because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I always told my kids if they didn't agree with me, find in the Bible where what they're saying is okay, and then I'll agree with them instantly.
That's a good one. I'm going to borrow that line.
Please do it. I really liked it. You know, that's one of the reasons I write. One of the most important reasons I write is because I think we've lost to a great degree that sense of right and wrong. I remember 10 or 12 years ago, I'm pretty sure it was Luis Palau, saying that when he was in Eastern Europe, they had lost the sense of right and wrong, but we still had it in the United States, and I don't think we do now, and it really makes me sad. I mean, some people do, but for the most part, our culture doesn't so much. So anyway, so when I write a picture book, I write it for the parents as well as the kids. Do you do that too? When you write your tween book, do you write that? That's the other thing we have in common. I have one tween novel, and you have one tween novel. Tell us about yours. Yeah, isn't that fun? And does that have anything to do with why you wrote it, or did you just write it for the kids?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always aware of the parents sort of as a, you know, background thought in my head. And my tween novel is very much about a father and daughter relationship, so it was certainly in the back of my mind that, you know, I hope this will be a good conversation starter and a bonding point for some parents and kids. My book is about a 13-year-old girl who doesn't know her dad, but then ends up spending a summer on rock and roll. He's a rock and roll star, and she spends the summer on tour with him and his band, and they're sort of fumbling to form a relationship, making all these mistakes with each other. So, you know, definitely parents are a theme.
And I love it. And I have the one paragraph that says, rumor has it that rage waters. Do you have that? Do you want to read it? Or if you don't, I'll read it.
Sure. I'm happy to read it.
Please read it.
Cover
it's
says,
great.
It says, rumor has it that Rage Waters and the fellas may gain a new addition to their touring entourage this summer. Rage's 13-year-old daughter, Crystal. Aw, now isn't that sweet? Reformed party animal Rage finally settling down for some father-daughter bonding. I say it's about time. But I can't help wondering, will Rage corrupt his daughter or will she keep him on the straight and narrow? One thing's for sure, Crystal Waters is in for the time of her life, a summer of rock and roll, penthouse suites, and celebrity parties. Talk about a dream summer vacation. My advice to Crystal, buckle up, Buttercup. You're in for a wild ride. So.
I love that. listeners, we're talking to Elizabeth Lang Thompson. We're talking about her books in general and her tween book in particular. Elizabeth, can you tell them what age a tween book is for and where to
find it? Generally,
it's
at like 9 to 12, 13. There's always a little bit of a gray area, but generally that 9 to 12, 13 range before they're really ready for the real young adult book. Yeah. So my two of my kids fall squarely in that tween fiction category. So they're reading all the kinds of books that I love right now, which is
yeah,
so much
I know,
fun.
Me too. And you know the difference between I have in Christian circles, writers' conferences, the difference between the novel that's for young adults and adult women is that the adult women novels that are not Christian have nasty stuff in them. That's the only difference. So if you write for the older kids, that's what you're writing for. So when you write for the tweens, you're writing for just younger, and it should actually, though, it should appeal to women or men older. Do you think so? Do you think they ever read it? I would.
Yeah, you know, I have gotten some feedback from some parents who, you know, a lot of parents like to read books along with their kids, which I think is a really fun thing to do. My daughter and I did that a few summers ago with Anne of Green Gables, and then we watched the PBS special afterwards. So
yeah.
Fun. I had to, like, twist her arm to get her to read an old-fashioned book, but she ended up loving it. So, yeah, I've definitely heard from some parents who have done that kind of thing with their kids.
Okay, I want to look at your blog for a minute, Lizzie Life. And I want you to go through a few of these blog posts for me, just briefly,
sure.
So listeners can get an idea. Okay, talk about the 13 scriptures to help siblings get along.
Oh, goodness. It's funny. I actually just reshared this one today because I was thinking about how many sibling conflicts that we've had to resolve in our house over the last few days.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things I like to do, you know, my book is the 13th summer, so I tend to I write these lists of 13, so a lot of times I'll do 13 scriptures on a certain topic. And so I've just got 13 real practical scriptures that families can look at just to help kids who are getting along. Everything from, well, I mean, I think we've got to pull it up, but I think we got Cain and Abel in there if you really, you know, really need to hammer
that's real rivalry,
in home.
Yeah.
But so, then just some proverbs about, you know, basically basic kindness and care and conflict resolution. There is so much in the Bible that's really practical for helping kids just to learn to navigate those complicated relationships.
And I love the 13 because age 13 is probably the hardest, 13, 14, for teachers and parents. And 13 is, everyone knows, an unlucky number. So there you
exactly.
Go.
For me, it's a lucky number. Well, not really.
It
but,
is.
You know.
I never had trouble. I loved my kids the whole time. Okay. What
did
does it
you?
Mean
oh,
when,
that's
when,
wonderful.
Oh, they were at their best.
I mean, I know you
years,
love them, but enjoy, you know, if it's not just
yes.
misery for a few years.
Oh, gosh,
that's good
I
to hear.
I love them. Okay. What does it mean when being a grown up means you're still growing up?
Oh, goodness.
These are
well, that's
cute
a post
titles,
I,
yeah.
Oh, thank you. I wrote a post a few years ago, or maybe it was a year ago, about just times when you realize you still have so much growing to do as an adult. You know, you kind of think, oh, well, when I hit adulthood, I'll be done and I'll have it all figured out. And tell the story there about just this time my daughter planted these apple seeds, and we were shocked when they actually grew.
I would be too.
We were just like, oh, really? You have apple trees growing? And then they went through this time when it looked like they had died, and I just couldn't bring myself to throw them away or tell my daughter because they turned all brown and woody, and it looked like they had died. And but then after a few weeks, what we realized was they were shedding their baby stem and getting this woody, you know, tough trunk that was going to help them survive the winter. And I thought, you know, I think sometimes that's what God does with us, that when it's time for us to grow, it kind of looks and feels a little bit like you're dying. You feel like you go through this sort of barren time and maybe life is just hard and you can't see the way out. And yet God is just, he's toughening you up so that you can make it through whatever lies ahead. And he's getting you ready So that's one of my recent lessons on just growing as an adult, that sometimes those hard times are God getting me ready for the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always going to be this hard. He's just helping me keep growing up.
Actually, it is always going to be this hard, but not necessarily with the, yeah, with the parenting, too. It never changes. Okay.
Yeah.
Elizabeth,
so I hear.
Almost out of time. So I'm just going to read a few titles to make listeners want to go there. When Kids Know God Better Than We Do. Oh, I hate that. This one's cute. I don't mean I hate the title. I mean I hate that that could be true, that they know God
better
than
sure.
we do. On Pink Eye, Lice, and Love. And here's another 13. 13 Reasons Moms Never Get Haircuts. When Your Kid Won't Stop Whining. Gosh, that one so many parents need. A Letter to My Children's Teacher from a First Parents, First Dance. Let's see. Parents versus Zombies. You up the questions. 26 questions every parent should ask about technology. Boy, that's a good one. That's one everybody should listen to.
Yeah.
When You Want to Have Faith, But You Have Questions. And I would really love to talk about it, several of those, but as I said, we're running out of time. So, listeners, come back next week, although we won't have Elizabeth here, and I'm sad about that. Elizabeth, is there something else that we didn't cover that you think is really, really important that you could tell the listeners? And notice I drew out the really, really to give you a little bit of time to swiftly go through your head and think, what in the heck?
Go through my files. Oh,
go through your mental files.
The biggest thing I want to leave any moms with young kids out there with is just, you know, hang in there and stay close to God. I know this time feels so exhausting and overwhelming, and you're not the only one. Everybody feels that way. But I think it's Galatians 6:9. If we will not become weary in doing good, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give
up.
That's
right.
Such a great scripture for moms. Just hang in there. Stay spiritual. Stay as close to God as you can. You may have shorter prayers than you used to have. You may read your Bible on the fly, but hey, stay close to God. Do the best you can bringing Him into daily life with your kids, and you will reap those rewards. And one night, you will get a full night's sleep again.
Oh, I don't. By then, you're getting older, and you have to get up for yourself.
That's what my mom tells me.
I'm
like, la, la, la,
la,
don't tell me. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to know that. Well,
let
did
me
you
live
give
in
them a
the fantasy.
Yes, live in the fantasy. Did you give them a scripture to back up the hang in there thing? I have one, if you don't.
Galatians 6:9 was...
And what is it?
Do not become weary let us not become weary in doing good, but
that's it.
At the proper time, we'll reap a harvest.
And that's it. Yes, thank you. And I'm sorry that I didn't know that you said that. I thought I remembered hearing it, but I...
Oh, it's okay. That's all right.
Yeah. Thank you for coming today. It was
thank
great.
You for
having I hope we get
me.
To talk to you again. It was fun. Talk to you later.
It was really fun, and thanks for your ministry and your books. I know they're such a
and
great
thank
resource
you
for
yours.
Families,
and
so
go to
really
YouTube
appreciate
and
it.
Watch. Go
this
to YouTube
is Tom
and
Fuller
watch my
saying
book.
Thank you for joining
my
us
book.
On The River
Listener.
Today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.